يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون.
O ye who believe, fasting is prescribed for you, even as it was prescribed for those before you, that ye may ward off evil.
أياماً معدودات فمن كان منكم مريضاً أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين فمن تطوع خيرا فهو خير له وأن تصوموا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون.
Fast a certain number of days. And for him who is sick among you or on a journey, the same number of other days. And for those who can afford it, there is a ransom, the feeding of a man in need. But whoso doth good of his own accord, it is better for him. And that ye fast is better for you if ye did but know.
شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون.
The month of Ramadan, in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for mankind, and clear proofs of the guidance, and the criteria of right and wrong. And whosoever of you is present, let him fast the month. And whosoever of you is sick or on a journey, let him fast the same number of other days. Allah desireth for you ease. He desireth not hardship for you. And he desireth that ye should complete the period, and that ye should magnify Allah for having guided you, and that peradventure you may be.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعص الله ورسوله فلا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا أما بعد. There's two scenarios that I want you to keep in mind with this talk today. If a professor were to tell you, you know you've been slacking off all the semester, and there's this last project, there's this last test. If you get an A on this test, I'm going to consider that an A for all your grade. All those 20 or 30 exams and quizzes and projects, I'm going to forget about all those. In time, your last project or quiz, by 70 or by 10. And that's going to be your grade in this class. Keep that scenario in mind. Keep another scenario in mind throughout this khutbah. The most beloved human to your life, living around you, he departs, he goes away for a year. And you're expecting him back. What's your reaction? How would you be? What would you think of? How would you get prepared for it? You love him so much. two scenarios. Keep these two in your mind throughout this khutbah. The first, you got a professor who's going to give you an A because you slacked off all throughout the semester. But at the end, he's going to give you a second chance. And the second one is, how would you welcome someone you love? Because as you know, we have a guest coming. This is a special guest that's going to arrive upon us. He's one who, because of him, Allah's going to send someone to call. If you want to do righteousness, step forward. If you want to do evil, take a step backward. It's the guest that, by the will of Allah, is going to cause the gates of hell to close down, shut down. It's the guest that, by the will of Allah, is going to cause the gates of heaven to open up. It's the guest that, by the will of Allah, he's going to shackle the devil in it. He's going to be chained and shackled. It's the only time ever that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked Allah to give him a longer life. If you look at the history of the Prophet, he sits one time and he says, I wish I die and become a martyr. And then I come back to life and become a martyr again. And again, and again. And as you remember from last khutbah, in his last moments on his deathbed, Aisha radiallahu anha said, he raised his hand to the sky and he chose Allah over us. Meaning, he chose to meet Allah over us because he had the choice between having a longer life. Except one time. When he had days like these, he would say exactly like days like these, 14 centuries ago, he would say, may Allah bless Sha'ban and allow us to live until Ramadan. May Allah bless Sha'ban and allow us to live until Ramadan. The only time you ever see in any hadith book the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking to prolong his life. That's your guess. Ramadan, are you prepared for it? It's only 6 days or so away. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum authentically used to prepare for Ramadan 6 months before Ramadan. Asking Allah for forgiveness. Asking Allah that Ramadan reaches them and their iman is a high status. And after Ramadan, ask Allah for 5 months to accept Ramadan. Their life roamed around Ramadan. Their life roamed around Ramadan. It was all about that. I've got 6 and 6 for you today. 6 things you get out of Ramadan and 6 things you gotta put in Ramadan. I'm gonna outline them so you leave today prepared, eager to go after Ramadan when Ramadan comes. What am I gonna get out of Ramadan? Number one, the biggest thing you can get ever, the forgiveness of Allah. The forgiveness of Allah. Look at these 3 hadith. Authentic hadith, right after each other in the hadith book. Whomever gets up the nights of Ramadan, Allah will forgive all his prior sins. You remember that professor who told you, I'm going to see you slacked off, but you did this last test, I'm going to let you off on this last test. All your prior sins for praying at the nights of Ramadan, which is Taraweeh, the prayer you know, Taraweeh. Okay, you say, you know what? I'm a little bit lazy. I can't do that. Or I got school. 30 days is too much. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whomever fasts 30 days of Ramadan for the sake of Allah and for no one else, for other than Allah, wanting the reward from Allah, Allah will forgive all his prior sins. You say, well, I slacked off on a couple days. My intention went wrong on a couple. Okay. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whomever gets up the night of Laylatul Qadr, Allah will forgive all his prior sins. Take the first statement out. The last statement of the hadith stays the same. Forgive his prior sins. Forgive his prior sins. First one, get up all the nights of Ramadan. Some people can't do that. Okay. Fast for the sake of Allah. Renew your intention of your life. I'm fasting, why? Who cares about my friends? They're not going to help me on the judgment day. Allah is. I'm fasting for Allah. your sins are gonna be forgiven. You slacked off in your intention a few days, you got that one superpower night, the night of Laylatul Qadr. You see how merciful Allah is? It's as though you're trying to dodge Allah in forgiveness of Allah. And Allah before you saying, I want to forgive you. You say, no. Allah said, I want to forgive you. There's no way out of it. I want to forgive you. Wallahu yuridu an yatuba alaykum. Allah wants to forgive you. And the devil and the people astray want to lead you to the wrong path. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, may his face be smothered in dirt. Dua? By that merciful man? Who deserves that dua? May his face be smothered in dirt. May he be low in this life. That's what he's trying to say. One who sees Ramadan and lives for Ramadan to come and doesn't get all his sins forgiven. Meaning you gotta be the stupidest of the stupid. You gotta be the loser of the losers. Ramadan comes and you don't take advantage of it to forgive your sins, then you gotta be the pit bottom low. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. Ramadan to Ramadan is a forgiveness in between. We fasted last Ramadan. Take advantage of this Ramadan. Because you know you caught this Ramadan, but you don't know if you're going to catch next Ramadan. We know people. They were with us last Ramadan. Today they're under their grave. Wallah. Take advantage of it. Number one, forgiveness. Number two, what do I get out of Ramadan? In addition to forgiveness, your neck is going to be freed from hell. The Prophet ﷺ described it as though, you know how back in the old days the Prophet recommended and pushed for the freeing of the slaves. So the Prophet ﷺ words this hadith as though your neck is going to be freed from hell like a neck of a slave is freed from his master. Why did he word it like that? Why couldn't he say, you know what, you're free from hell? Unique. The Prophet doesn't just say terms like that. It's because when Arabs back in the days, they were very generous. If you were to free a slave, never would you go back on your word. You're actually in Islam, if you jokingly tell your slave you're free to go, he's free to go for good. You can't say, hey, I was joking with you. No, we don't take jokes like that. So Allah is saying, the same way those people are generous and free their slaves, the same way they can't go back on it even if they want it, the same way there's a lot of people every night of Ramadan gonna be chosen to free their necks from hellfire. You say to your mind, but after Ramadan I'm gonna make more mistakes. I might make more mistakes. If Allah chose you to free your neck in that Ramadan, I guarantee you, the balance of your sins and deeds after Ramadan, the deeds are going to outweigh them by many, many, many more times. That's part of freeing your neck in Ramadan. Fast in Ramadan gets your neck free from hell. Inviting someone for iftar, as the Prophet ﷺ specified, is a reason for you to free your neck from hellfire. Number two, we got one. Forgiveness from Allah. Number two, your neck is free from hell. Number three, dua. Your dua is accepted. Everyone who fasts, the Prophet ﷺ says, has a dua that will be accepted before you make a spot. And we'll get to this point later on. You know, I was teaching one time, a young class that I taught. And I asked them, and I was expecting an answer of no. I said, do you guys have problems? Because I wanted to get at a point. Most of the class who are between the age of 11 and 13 said yes. Said, you guys got problems. What should we say who are in our 20s and 30s and we got in 40s and kids and grandkids? What should those say? One of them says, well, I got a problem with my teacher. I got a problem with homework. I got a problem with my siblings. I got a problem with my family. Problems. You need Allah. You need dua. If those little children told me that, I said, what's anyone above that age going to say? You need dua. Number three. Then after that, you're going to need to commit to Ramadan. The first one, forgiveness. The next one is your neck free from hellfire. The third one is that your dua will be accepted. The fourth one is that you're going to get a mountain of reward on your balance on the judgment day. Not only forgives your sin, that's just forgiving your sin. But in addition to that, you get mountains of reward on the judgment day. In Ramadan, in six more days, the Prophet said, a sunnah that you do now,
is worth equivalent to a farm, the reward. The farm is equivalent to 70 times what it's worth in the normal days. 70 times. The A the professor is going to give you, times it by 70. So if you do something today, you're going to need to do it 70 times to be equivalent to what's in Ramadan. Imagine that. Imagine that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one night of fasting, one day of fasting keeps you away from hell. In one hadith, 8 years. In another hadith, 100 years. In a third hadith, the distance between the sky and the earth. 80 years from hellfire. Let's assume you fast 30 days of Ramadan. Times it by 100. You're 300 years away from hellfire. How could you even go in hellfire? You know how the reward of fasting is? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu amal ibn Adam, every deed is for him, for the son of Adam, illa siyam, except siyam." What are you going to do with siyam, ya Allah? Except siyam. Everywhere you pray, you get your reward. Except siyam. You know what he's trying to tell you? فَإِنَّهُ لِي. It's for me, for Allah. وَأَنَا أَجْسِي. I'm the one who's going to reward it. Let me give you a summary of what that hadith means. You know, people went to Oprah show, and in the Oprah show, she said, you got a surprise. The surprise was, one of the times, a free car. They got the title under their seat of a free car. That's Oprah. She doesn't own nothing in this earth. She doesn't own a tiny thing. Allah's trying to tell you, and He has the supreme examples, I got the surprise for you. I got the surprise for you. Allah, the one who owns this universe in the sky, says, the Ramadan, put that aside. That's a surprise on the judgment day. Someone who owns the universe, He's going to give you a surprise. How big is that surprise? Inside heaven is a door called Ar-Rayyan. Rayyan means to satisfy your thirst. Inside, this is not outside, inside a special place for those who fast. Ar-Rayyan. It's just good because you gave to Allah some of your thirst and some of your desires. Allah's gonna allow you entry to that place. When you enter Rayyan, you name what you want. You stop thirst, take and drink from whatever you want. You didn't have a relationship with your wife, even though she's your wife. Do whatever you want over here. You wore according to Islam to the sisters, take from the clothing of heaven wherever you want. The door that will satisfy you. That's the gate of Ar-Rayyan. You see what you get for fasting in Ramadan? You get in Ramadan, Laylatul Qadr, the next one. Laylatul Qadr, look how many extra credit Allah's trying to give us. A month in the Quran where a chapter is about it, Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. It's better than 1,000 months. What does it mean when it says Allah 1,000 months? It means that one night is better than 1,000 months, equal to 83.3 years or 84 years approximately. You know what that means? You shed a tear for Allah in that night. That tear, you get the reward for 84 years. You read Quran that night. That Quran you read, you get the reward of 84 years. You pray to Allah that night, times that by 84. You didn't even live. We're not going to probably live 84 years old. If you hit that night, and you do good in it, and that night is worth of these 84 years, you're probably going to live 60, 70. Which one's going to be balanced more? Your deeds, just that one tiny little night, or the sins of probably 60 years? Look how merciful Allah is. Allah wants to give us and continue to give us. And we have to accept that by doing that which Allah asks us. The biggest thing probably about Ramadan that the Sahaba used to look for, and that's the sixth one, is that the reward of Ramadan is Allah's blessing upon you. Allah's happy with you. Could you imagine when a husband leaves his house and his wife is happy with him? He's very happy. She, the wife, leaves and her husband's happy. She's very happy. Your parents are happy with you. You have a happy day. Imagine Allah being happy. Not only is He being happy with you, but He brags about you. He brags. He tells the angels, look at my servants. They left their food for my sake. They left their water for my sake. They left their desires for my sake. You're my witnesses, I forgive them all. Allah forgives you. He looks at you through mercy. He tells his angels, ask Allah, ask me for forgiveness for these people. And if you have the angels who don't make sense asking Allah to forgive you, you're certainly going to get it. And then he tells you the Jannah. He tells Jannah, decorate yourself for these people who are fasting. Jannah is already beautiful. But because you fasted, you get more and more. And then Allah looks at you another time in an eye of mercy towards the Ramadan and forgiveness to forgive all your prior sins. أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد. We took 6 things for you in Ramadan. Now take 6 things you gotta put in your schedule and you gotta prepare. That's why I mentioned I was hesitant to give this khutbah this Friday or next Friday. But you need to prepare. If the Sahaba prepared 6 months for it, we should at least give it 6 days of our time. You gotta commit to Ramadan in order to get those 6 categories, which are some of what we get out of Ramadan. You gotta commit to Ramadan. You gotta give in to Ramadan. You gotta look forward for Ramadan coming. You gotta greet it as though it's a precious loved one that's coming to visit you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba used to encourage each other to do good deeds in it. When you look at these deeds, look at you're gonna be the best. You know what I'm gonna do Ramadan? Tell yourself, I'm gonna be the best in my family Ramadan. I'm gonna be the most one who prays in Ramadan. In my family, I'm gonna be the most one who prays at night Ramadan. I'm gonna be the most who makes dua Ramadan. I'm gonna be the one who commits soul to his intention 100% to Allah the most in Ramadan. In my family. Then take it and be bigger. In my community, I want to try to be the best. No. In Oakland campus, in Oakland University campus, all of it, I'm going to be the best. In all Michigan, I'm going to try to be the best worshiper. I'm going to worship Allah in this month that's coming like Allah's. I never worshipped Allah before ever. Put that in your intention. Keep your goal supreme. Abu Bakr, pay attention to this hadith. One time, the Prophet ﷺ says there's a gate in heaven called Sadaqah. If you give charity, you go in from that gate. Imagine you're listening to the Prophet say this hadith. What goes through your mind? The second gate is for jihad. If you did jihad, you go in from this gate. The third one is for those who do kind to other people. You enter through this gate. So on, he named some. These are gates, not the outside gates of heaven. These are inside heaven, special places in heaven. What goes through your mind when the Prophet said the hadith? What went through the mind of Abu Bakr? Can someone go in from all those gates? I would think, hey, I'm going to go in from that one over there. The Sadaqah maybe. The one of them. One more than enough for me. Abu Bakr, his goals are high. Can someone go in from all those gates? The Prophet said, yes, Abu Bakr, and you're one of them. Keep your goals high. My goal is that this Ramadan is going to be the best Ramadan ever. The Prophet said, take advantage of things before other things happen. 5 before 5. Amongst them, take advantage of your time before another Ramadan or another situation comes where you got no time. Take advantage of your health, your old youth, young, before the time comes when you're sick. Take advantage of your youth before you become old. Take advantage of your life before you die. Take advantage of your wealth before you become poor. Take advantage of those. Because one day is going to come where you're going to say, I wish Ramadan, I wish I did this and that. Now I'm too old, I'm too sick. Now I got a job. Now, yes, you're busy, you're students, you're busy. But imagine later, and if you get a job that you're going to have to work maybe 10 hours a day, and after you go home, you're going to have to put more hours in it. Put time into this Ramadan, as though it's going to be the last Ramadan. Inshallah, Allah will give you life for more Ramadan. But put in a lot of time in this Ramadan. What do you got to do in Ramadan? The 6 things you got to do. One is Quran.
the abandoned book on our shelf, the one that's been collecting dust for the past year, get it off. Wipe that dust off and read it. And don't go back on reading it. I mean, after Ramadan, don't say, that's it, I've done it. Our Qur'ans in our houses has become a book where we only pick it up maybe in Ramadan, but mostly when a relative dies. لِيُنْذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ. The Qur'an is for those who are alive, not for those. How could a Muslim be a Muslim, not give Allah the constitution of our lives a few minutes of his day? I'm not saying read 20 juz a day. I'm saying read a few lines. The Prophet ﷺ, he keeps this throughout everything. I say, the Prophet ﷺ used to say, it's recommended to do a little bit of deeds that continue on better than a big lump sum that ends. I mean, someone's going to get inspired today saying, no, tomorrow I'm going to read 20 juz. No, don't do that. Go tomorrow, read a half a page. Maybe 3/4 of a page. According to what you can do. And let it continue and continue and continue. Better than saying, tomorrow I'm going to devote it all for Quran. That's what the Prophet ﷺ wants us. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبُّ Allah, the Prophet ﷺ, when you want his intercession that we talked about last week, he says, ha, touch him. What's his crime? وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبُّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. That guy, that sister, she abandoned my book. Abandoned it how? Two ways Ibn al-Qayyim says. Abandoned reading it, and abandoned the commands in it. Let's pick up that book and start reading. You know the honor of Ramadan? Remember the guest I said about in the beginning of the khutbah? Who's coming to visit you? You're going to do all you can to make him happy. You're going to honor him. The honor of Ramadan is Quran. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. Go home, write on a paper, I'm going to read so and so every single day of Ramadan. Look at the reward of it. The Prophet ﷺ says, whoever reads one letter of the Quran gets 10 hasana. One letter. He said, Alif Lam Mim is not a word. Alif Lam Mim is not one letter. It's three letters. Alif is a letter. Lam is a letter. Mim is a letter. How many rewards you get? 30. That's on a regular day. With the extra credit of Ramadan, times it by 70. Imagine that. Imagine, I calculated personally at one time, one juz of the Quran, one chapter, which is 20 pages. It's approximately 7,000 letters. You times it by 10. And you times that by 70 for Ramadan. You get 4,900,000 deeds. One chapter, which is supposed to be the average we read in one day of Ramadan. Shafi'i rahimahullah used to read the Quran 60 times a day, 60 times in Ramadan, meaning two times each. Don't say that. To us, you will say that we can't do that. But to someone who's into Quran, it's something that's a piece of cake for him. Aisha radiallahu anha, a woman, that pious, honorable, scholarly woman, used to sit and read Quran all throughout the days of Ramadan, and at night sleep basically what would be today minutes of her day. All of it in her Quran. Aisha, a woman. Can we be like that woman? Or close to that woman? Or at least show a step forward to being on that path of that person. You say, I don't know how to read. I say, for now, read the translation. For now, go and start burning CDs of Quran and replace them with those in your car. The ones in your room, those other ones you've been listening to, let's replace them with the Quran CDs from now. You need time to prepare because you get ajr for listening to Quran. Let it purify your mind and your heart. Listen to Quran. Read Quran. You know what? I think everyone here would know Al-Fatiha. Al-Fatiha. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is the first verse in it. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, I think that was 19 words, letters. You times it by 10, you times it by 17, you got 13,300 deeds right there. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In order to get 13,300 deeds there, today I gotta sit and read it 70 times. You see? You see what you're going to miss if you miss out on Ramadan? A, Quran, Salah, the Sunnah of your Salah. I'm not saying the Fard prayer, I know everyone does that. The Sunnah, look forward to praying that. If you pray 12 rak'ahs, in one day, you get a beautiful palace in heaven. It's going to be 70 times better in the life after, in Ramadan, for you in the life after. 12, 2 before Fajr, 2 before Dhuhr, 2 after Dhuhr, 2 before Asr, 2 after Maghrib, and 2 after Isha. You got 12 there. A palace in heaven. Beautiful palace in heaven. Something your eyes never seen. Something your mind never imagined. In it, you hear something your ears never heard before. Quran, A and B. A is Quran. B is your prayer and your dhikr. If you don't, you're coming to school. You don't have time. Who doesn't know how to say astaghfirullah? On your way to school, don't sit and whistle in Ramadan. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. The Prophet ﷺ said two words who are very light on the tongue, but are very heavy on the judgment day. Very heavy. You come with sins, you may think they're big. You put these two words on the judgment day, they outweigh all your sins. Subhanallah wa bihamdih, subhanallah al-azim. Let's go back to that Quran, to the Sunnah, to the dhikr. The next thing you have to do after that is dua. Dua. You gotta make dua for yourself. You gotta make dua for your family. You gotta make dua for this ummah that you're part of as a whole. Make it before iftar, because that's when the dua is accepted. Because people's minds are preoccupied with the food. They're hungry. That's exactly when you need to make the dua. The women are kicking, the sisters are cooking. You take time out, make dua. The time that it's accepted. The third thing, the next one, silat al-rahim. You have relatives, you've abandoned or they've abandoned you. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who abandons his family will never enter heaven. Will never enter heaven. The one who abandons his family, Allah will abandon him. You got family? From today, go make a list. Number. You're not being low if you go say, Salaamu Alaikum, or brother, or cousin, or relative. You're not being low. You're being honorable because you're doing it for the sake of Allah. You don't need them. You're doing it for the sake of Allah. Clear your conscience with your relatives and also with the Muslims as well. That's a path for you to enter heaven. Taraweeh. The next one, Salat al-Taraweeh. Don't miss out on that. The 20 nights at night time, the rak'ah, 20 rak'ahs, don't miss out at that. Some will say, you know what, I have school, I have finals, I have tests, I have studying to do. Take time out in your house. The sister, in your house. Get up with a start a little bit. Move on forward. Maybe it'll take you 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Show Allah something that you're doing. You don't have to sit and pray and probably take 45 minutes to go to the masjid and then 2 hours in the masjid and 45 back. That's good. Inshallah, we all do that. But at least if you can't do that, do it in your house. Man qama Ramadan. If you get up by night of Ramadan, Allah will forgive all your sins. The next one is da'wah. The first khutbah I ever gave here was about da'wah. I'm going to spread Islam. I'm going to take advantage of Ramadan since the deeds are timed by 70. And I'm going to see a non-Muslim and I'm going to talk to him about Islam. Here's what Islam is all about. You don't have to go directly, maybe a leaflet. Maybe be kind to him. Maybe not even mention Islam to him. Just be kind to him to show him this is what Islam is about. Well, I was driving last week and we came about where me and some brothers, a couple who were, his wife was pregnant, and they got stuck. And the cars were passing, no one wants to help. We stopped, we said, come on. We pushed their car to the side, we got them in our car, we drove them to their house, she was pregnant, and when we dropped them off, they said, thank you. I said, you know why we did that? They said, why? I said, because I'm a Muslim. They got happy and we got, you know, and that's going to leave a mark on them because they were in a desperate situation where all their kinds were walking by looking at them. Pregnant woman leaving her in the street. No. This is something my religion wouldn't let me do. That's da'wah. That's da'wah. Go to a Muslim who doesn't pray. Those Muslims who don't pray. Guys, come here. This is not part of Islam. The minimum naked Islam is the Islam with a prayer. You below that, there's no Islam. I go to him. Look, guys, here's a tape on Salah. Here's a CD on Salah. Here's a flyer on Salah. I'm going to do that in Ramadan. I'm going to do that in Ramadan because these deeds are 70 times as much. Because Ramadan is a boot camp. If you do these things in Ramadan, you're going to continuously do them after Ramadan. And the next one, and last, sixth one, is give charity in Ramadan. The last one, before I end, is to give charity in Ramadan. It's 70 times as much. I was amazed last week, subhanAllah, my dear brother Firaz got up, gave two words about this MSA being in debt. And mashallah, a professor, may Allah reward him and his family, offered to donate and fulfill his obligation towards the MSA. And the rest donated as well. An amount, I mean, this MSA didn't become a millionaire overnight, but an amount that really, really amazed me. SubhanAllah, young people who are in debt and they're still donating. May Allah reward you. May Allah return it back upon you in this life and in the life after. Of course, they're going to need a lot of that because they're going to do iftar. Donate Ramadan for such things. Donate Ramadan for iftar. You know what happens if you give iftar? If you give iftar, your neck is freed from hellfire. If you just bring one person and give him iftar, imagine if you do it to other people. You get his reward. You know, he fasted all day, probably worked. He probably was very thirsty. And you give him a sip of water, you get all his reward. Because the Sahaba said, we don't got enough to feed a lot of people. He said, a sip of water on Maghrib constitutes his reward. He gets his reward, and you get the same as him. He said, even a date, even a sip of yogurt. You take care of someone. Say, I don't have that. I tell you, there's going to be Ramadan dinners around, all over. Go and help. Because you help. Why were you helping? For the iftar. I was helping for the iftar. You're going to get the ajr of those two people. Take advantage this month. Those are six things to keep in your mind. Keep them in your mind. Put them in between your eyes. Don't let your guard down on Ramadan. That's why I mentioned this to you today. On Ramadan, you're going to make this Ramadan the best Ramadan ever. In this Ramadan, you're going to fast from food and water. Your tongue is going to fast too. You sit in a setting. Hey, gossiping. Sisters, that's it. I got to leave. I can't. I'm fasting from sins. Your legs? I used to go clubbing before Ramadan. No, Ramadan. My legs are fasting. Because Islam and Ramadan is a boot camp. If you stop in Ramadan, you're going to stop after. If you left the halal that you can do in Ramadan, eating and drinking is halal. You're certainly going to leave that which is always haram after Ramadan. I'm going to fast my eyes. On the internet, I'm not going to look at that which is prohibited. No. My eyes are fasting. My eyes, when I walk in the streets, I'm going to lower my gaze because my eyes are fasting. Keep that in mind throughout Ramadan. This got to be the best Ramadan. You got to make the most out of it. It's the extra credit. You can't tell your professor, hey, go on, I don't need that A. I slacked off all throughout the semester. I appreciate your offer, professor, that you're going to let me take this one little project or quiz and give me an A for the whole semester and treat me better than everyone else. But you know what, professor? No, thank you. That's what you're telling Allah. Would you tell that to Allah? The reason I gave this khutbah before Ramadan, 6 days or 7 days, and according to what I think is going to happen, there's going to be split in the community, is because the week before Ramadan is the most crucial week probably. I told you the shaitan is going to be shackled. The devil, the youth of the shaitans, the youth of them, the strong ones, they're going to be shackled. You know what he's going to do in this week? When someone's going to jail and he's bad, he's going to do all the worst things he can imagine before he goes. And if someone who's good is going away somewhere or is going to die, he's going to do all the good he can do before he goes away. The devil, I'm going to go away, huh, for 30 days. Okay, I'm going to introduce you to a girl the day before Ramadan. And then you're going to spend your nights on Ramadan chatting with that girl. She's going to chat with you on the cellular phone with her. And another sin. Before Ramadan, the day before Ramadan, it's going to start a problem between a husband and a wife. And they're going to go on throughout Ramadan, fighting and arguing and quarreling. Before Ramadan, he's going to introduce you to friends who are going to take you to sinful places. Push you, push you, push you, until they get you to those sinful. It's a crucial time. Let us meet Allah with a repentance, with clear side on our sin side, clear it from all sins. We repent to Allah. We look forward to this Ramadan and we're going to be inspired. We're going to be inspired to do all that we could do in this Ramadan, inshallah. ثُمَّ صَلُّوا عَلَى خَاتَمِ النَّبِيِّينَ وَإِمَامِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ فَقَدْ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالسَّلَامِ عَلَيْهِ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى علي واحدة صلى الله عليه بعشر اللهم صل وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء الأئمة الحنفاء أبي بكر الصديق وعمر الفاروق وذي النورين عثمان وأبي الصديق علي وعن آل بيت نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين وعن أزواج أمهات المؤمنين وعنا معهم بمنك وعفوك وإحسانك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين اللهم احفظ إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويذل فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر إنك يا ربنا سميع قريب مجيب الدعاء وأقم الصلاة